the Lord put on my heart that we were to talk about the satanic trinity. So we have a little bit more understanding of what's going on in the satanic world. This ministry, you'll find out there's three basic things. Number one is praise and worship. Number two is knowing who you're fighting. And number three is how to fight who you're fighting. That's what it's about. Because without those, you'll get beat up. Number one, worship. The first thing that we must always do is, if we must take that first office that God has given us, and that's priesthood, and that's to minister to the Lord. If you can't minister to the Lord, you got no right ministering to nobody else. Amen? The second thing is we must know who we're fighting. You can't fight someone you don't know who you're fighting. And the third thing is we got to know the weapons and how to use who we're fighting, because we're fighting somebody in the spiritual realm. You certainly can't use physical weapons. I've tried it. When I was out there using and I'd be getting high, and I'd see these shadows walking through my house and buzzing, I'd pull my gun out and start shooting, and my neighbors would take their kids and put them in the house. I mean, I'd be running out my front door shooting, seeing these shadows. I mean, I was out there. But they weren't really too much out there. They were in me at the time. Hallelujah. But when I met the Master, I got the Holy Ghost bazooka. Now I get up in the morning and chase them away. Amen. I attack them before they can attack me. Amen? So we must learn not only about who we're fighting, but how we're fighting, how we're using the weapons to fight. So let's get a little understanding about the satanic trinity, because there is a satanic trinity. You got to remember something, that Satan copies everything of God in every way. You know, I mean, the sun shines its light, the moon reflects it. That's how Satan works. That's why he's the known as the night. You know, people, when we were out in the world, we were darkness, right? We used to sleep all day and party all night, unless we had to go to work, because we used to serve the devil, and he's out at night, isn't he? Not that he's not out in the day, but nighttime's his time, because he's the power of darkness. Amen? So we see that, we'll find that he reflects everything. He copies. He tries to duplicate what Christ has already done and what he's going to do. So let's go to Ephesians 6:12 and get right to the meat. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ephesians 6, chapter 12, or chapter 6, verse 12. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is everybody there? I guess we can start at verse 10. Let's read it together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Do you all understand it? You and I are to be strong in Him and in His power, not our own. That's what gets us in trouble. And verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, which means trickery of the devil. And verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So we're wrestling against powers of darkness. Principalities, which are known as high-ranking angels for Satan. They're called principalities. There are principalities over countries and cities and states. There are principalities. There are powers of darkness. There are rulers of this age, which is a representation of there are rulers of this age that are here that are wicked, that are deliberately serving Satan, aren't they? Amen? And they are filled with demons. Okay, so we are fighting these powers of darkness, these devils, these principalities in heavenly places. We're not fighting flesh and blood. So it'd be like somebody standing and looking at their shadow and trying to knock out their shadow. It ain't going to work. Right? And so many times we're blinded, and most of the world is blinded of knowing who they're fighting. You know, there's that video that we send out, you can't fight what you can't see. And that's true. But until you finally get the understanding that you are fighting the powers of darkness, then you begin to search out how you can fight them. You know. Hallelujah. Let's go to Revelation 12. I want to share a couple things right away here. Revelation chapter 12. Now we know that Trinity means three, correct? Hallelujah. Revelation 12. And verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old. Now, who was in the Garden of Eden? The serpent, right? Called the devil and Satan, which are the same. Who deceives the whole world. So he deceived the whole world? Amen. It says he deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I'll explain a little bit more of this a little bit later. But I just wanted to show you that Satan has names. He was known as the dragon, the devil, the serpent, right? And Satan. And I'll explain a little bit of this. So we see that his angels and he were cast out of the spiritual realm. And this is going to happen. It's not happened yet. But we know that already he's been cast out of the throne room of God. And if you backed up a little bit further in the same chapter, you would see that he was after the woman, after the child of the woman. But I'm not going to go in depth with this right now. I just want to share a couple things. I wanted to reveal to you that there are many names for Satan. Does everybody get that? And I want to go through some of them. But first, let's go to Isaiah 14. So Satan had angels, didn't he? Amen?
Isaiah what?
Isaiah 14. The Bible says that he took a 30 of the angels with him when he was thrown out of the throne room of God.
14.
Isaiah 14. Glory, hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Glory to the Lamb. Let's read it. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. So we know that Satan's original name was known as Lucifer, wasn't it? Which meant morning star. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And here's the response. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, which means hell, to the lowest depths of the what?
Pit.
And that's where he has been brought down when he got thrown out of the throne room of God, wasn't he? Amen? That's where Satan's throne room is now, is where? In the core of the earth. But he still has access in the heavenlies, doesn't he? So we see here his name was Lucifer, and God threw him out of his throne room and removed him from his office as praise and worship leader of the universe because he exalted himself. It sounds like there was too many eyes involved. I mean, here's another trinity. Let me share with you. Me, myself, and I. That's the trinity of self. Me, myself, and I. And we know that reflects the trinity of Satan, doesn't it?
That's a trinity of self, too.
Yeah, but it's also an open door, isn't it? Let's go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In verse 8, let's read that together, okay? Is everybody there? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may
devour.
Well, I mean, come on. He's trying to devour you. He's trying to devour me. In fact, he's walking around like a roaring lion. Now, you got to also understand something. The Bible says the devil touches you not, only if you allow him to. That's why it doesn't say he's walking around, coming against and beating up and killing, right? Only if you let him. It says he's coming with what? Roaring. He's like an ant with a big mouth, right? So if people listen to him, then he has access, doesn't he? Now we know that the devil has come to steal and kill and murder and so forth, but he can only do that if we let him. Does everybody get that? Because the Bible tells us now in the New Testament that he's been disarmed. He is disarmed against a believer only if there's an open door in that believer's life, and of course, if he doesn't know how to fight the devil in the spirit realm. How many people walk around and say, the devil ain't got nothing on me? It's because the devil's in them. Amen? Even if they're believers. People can still be filled with demons even if they're a believer. Or else people would be free, wouldn't they? I mean, if you're filled with the Spirit, all the way filled with the Spirit, you're not doing the things of old. That means there's still spirits there, or there's a hindrance there, right? Hallelujah. And it doesn't mean, and it says, those practicing such things. In other words, we're to have dominion over our members, aren't we? If something has dominion over our member, there's a spirit there. Does everybody get it? You know, people think that if you're possessed, you have to be foaming from the mouth and doing backflips, being chained in caves and rocking around naked. And being real stupid, and your head must be twisting and everything else. And you got to be throwing up green slime. But that's not true. Not that I haven't heard about green slime being thrown up, or I haven't seen people throw up that have had demons cast out of them and so forth. But you can still have a spirit without all of those outward appearances to that degree because you don't have dominion over your members. Amen? Okay, let's go a little further. So we know the devil is our adversary, and he's after me and you, isn't he? In fact, the Bible says that we must be sober and we must be vigilant. In other words, we better be sensitive to the things of the devil. And we better be ready to react when the devil begins to strike. Amen? Got a couple amens out of that. Praise God. Ephesians 2. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. verse 2. Somewhere around there. Start with verse 1. Hallelujah. So the devil's known as our what? Adversary, isn't he? Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2. Let's read it together. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Who did that? Jesus, right? In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Wow. Wow. It's a spirit, isn't it? You and I walked according to the course of this world under the authority of Satan, didn't we? Verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Wow. So you and I were born in sin. We were serving the devil and not even knowing it. And those of us who used to use crack and so forth, when we got down on our knees and looking for those pieces, we were actually on our knees worshiping the devil. Not even knowing it. Worshiping Satan. Powerful. He doesn't show up and say, hey, worship me. He puts things before you so that you can worship him. Amen? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. Hallelujah. So we see he's known as the prince of power of air. He's known as the adversary. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. Let's read this together, please. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So Satan is also known as the God of this age. He's known as the God of this age. He is the ruler of this world. Hallelujah. In 1 John 5. First John chapter 5. Somebody there? And verse 18. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. And let's read this together, okay? We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. Who's to keep himself? We are. It's our responsibility to keep ourselves. And the wicked one does not touch him. You remember what I just shared with you a little while ago? But if you keep yourself, the wicked one can't touch you. It's when you're not keeping yourself that the wicked one has access to us. And verse 19. For we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And who's the wicked one?
Satan.
Amen. So we see here that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, don't? Does everybody get that? Now, we have a whole other teaching about being born again or saved, because there is a difference. Because you notice it says, if you're born of God, you don't sin. That means you're walking in a born-again state. Amen. That doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake, but you won't practice sin. It's when you walk away from that born-again state that you begin to practice sin. Hallelujah. But that's a whole other teaching. So we see here that Satan is known as the god of this age, the god of this world. He's known as the prince of power of air. He's known as the adversary. He was known as Lucifer from the beginning until he rebelled against God. That the world lies under the sway of Satan. You and I were born under the sway of Satan. In 1 Thessalonians 3. We know that he's known as the wicked one, don't we? Hallelujah. First Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. Hallelujah. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the what? Tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. So Satan's known as the what?
Tempter.
He's the one that tempts you. God does not tempt us. The Bible tells us that God doesn't tempt us. Hallelujah. In Matthew 13, 19, you don't have to go there, just write this down. I want to emphasize that he's known as the wicked one there. 13, 19. Matthew 13, 19. Let's go to John 8. John chapter 8 and verse 43. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and he was saying, he said, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we see Satan is known as a murderer, he's a liar, and he has no truth. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to I'll go back to it. While we're in John, let's go to 10:10. In John 10:10, the word says, the thief does not come except to what?
Steal, kill, and destroy.
And who's the thief?
Satan.
Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So remember, the Lord is always trying to bring us abundant life. The only reason why it's not manifesting in our life at certain times is because we're not in divine position. We're not right standings with God. The devil has access to us and he's stealing every blessing that the Lord is trying to send. Amen? Hallelujah. In John 12:31, you don't have to go there. Well, I guess you might as well. It's the next thing, huh? John 12:31. I think it's John 12:31.
Well,
John 12:31. And it says, now Jesus is speaking, he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. He's talking about Satan. So everybody understand that. Now we know that he's not cast out completely yet, has he? In other words, he doesn't have dominion over those who are walking right before God. Amen? Because his casting out is until we return with Christ. Then he'll be bound for 1,000 years. So we see here he's known as the ruler of this world. Let me explain a little bit about the ruler of this world. He's the ruler of the system of this world. That's why he's trying to bring one world order, that he can become the dictator. And that's all falling into place, isn't it? Hallelujah. And Revelation 12:10. We're going to come back to some of this stuff, so I just want to let you see some of these names of Satan. Revelation 12:10. Hallelujah. Let's read this together. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the what? For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Now he's talking about when Satan was allowed, he kept going up to the throne room of God and he would accuse the brethren day and night. Because, see, he was no longer part of the throne room of God. So he gotten thrown out of the throne room of God. But he would still go and accuse the brethren. He'd always go up to the Lord and say, Lord, look at them. Look at this. Accusing the believers of God. Amen? Okay. So he's also known as the what? The accuser. And let me tell you, he's still going up to the throne room now, accusing you before God. And then the Lord, see, we either tie the hands of God or we untie the hands of God. See, when he goes up before the Lord and accuses you before God, the Lord either grants him access to you or he doesn't. If you're right standing with God and the hedge of protection around you, the Lord will not grant Satan access to you. But if you have an open door in your life, he's got access to you. Does everybody understand that? God cannot come against his word. That's why people go, well, why would God allow this to happen? He doesn't. Man does. Does everybody understand that?
Well, I bet God's sick of us, huh?
No, he loves us.
I knew that, but sick of letting the enemy have his way with us.
Let's go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Hallelujah.
We still go through persecution, though.
Yeah. It says, count it all joy. Count all your afflictions joy. You're afflicted. Everybody gets afflicted. It's training for reigning. It's on the job training, man. You got to get afflicted. How else are you going to know the power of God and what he can do? Hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Matthew 12. Praise God. In Matthew 12, in verse 24. The Lord said, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, because they were accusing him, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judge. Then he explains to them in verse 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, they were accusing Jesus of being Beelzebub. Beelzebub is the name of a Philistine deity. It's also one of the names of Satan, called the Prince of Flies or the Lord of Flies. He was known as the ruler of demons. Beelzebub was known as the ruler of demons. Yes.
Is Belzebub still around this
day? Amen. It's another name for Satan.
That's one of his other names.
Yeah. In 2 Corinthians 6:15, you can just write this down, we won't go there. He's known as Belial, B-E-L-I-A-L, which means worthlessness. 2 Corinthians 6:15. Yeah, sounds like a good name for that vermin. B-E-L-I-A-L, Belial, which means worthlessness. And let's go to Genesis 3:1. Didn't know Satan had so many names, huh? So many characters. Genesis 3:1. Hallelujah. Let's read this together, please. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now wait a minute. I mean, do you understand what you just read? The Bible says that the serpent is the most cunning beast God created. So that means he's highly intelligent. Does anybody get it? He's the most cunning beast that God ever created. That's Satan. Calls him a beast now.
Tell me about snakes that are on the earth now. They're cursed.
Snakes are cursed. What? Amen. When I come across a snake, I behead it. Because every snake is most likely carrying a demon.
Every time me and Tim pray on the property, we see black snakes.
Amen.
One of them dropped down in the tree.
So we see that Lucifer is very intelligent, isn't he? Remember, he was the right-hand man of God. He was the praise and worship leader of the universe. Amen. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4:1. So you think Lucifer knows how to con you? When we were out there conning people, he was conning us. First Timothy 4:1. Hallelujah. It's under the T's. 1 Timothy 4:1. Let's read this together. Is everybody there? Let's do it. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. Stop. Now the Spirit means Holy Spirit, and he's expressly saying, listen, let me tell you something. In the latter times, there's going to be many that are going to fall from the faith. They're going to run from the truth. Somebody get it? How many believers are backslidden? I mean, I know believers that have been Spirit-filled, tongue-speaking, walking with the Lord for a little bit, and because they didn't get what they wanted and they took the heed of the voice of the stranger, now have denounced Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now watch this. It says that they are going to depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. In other words, they're going to be listening to the voice of the stranger. The voice of the stranger is going to be giving him his doctrine, and they're going to believe it. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Okay? Remember, Jesus' third of the ministry was casting out devils. When he came to the earth, a third of his ministry was casting out devils. That's what he did. Everywhere he went, he was casting out devils. Hallelujah. In fact, go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Matthew 17 and verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the what? The demon. And it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, Because of your what? You know why some people don't get freed up either? Because they don't believe. They don't believe. For assuredly I say to you, if you have a faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. How much faith do you need? That's, and you need a telescope for that. Okay, so you need just a faith the size of a mustard seed. Amen? Okay, let's go on. Now, I want you to understand something now. I want to go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. And verse 25. Now we know that there's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, right? Jesus the Christ is a representation of the kingdom of light. That's why the Lord says, In my name, they will cast out devils and speak in new tongues and lay hands on the sick and so forth. In my name, because the power of attorney in the name of Jesus. Well, you got to remember something, that Lucifer does the same thing. Satan duplicates the same thing. So not only does Jesus the Christ have a kingdom, but Satan has a kingdom also. Amen. And in verse 25, in Matthew 12, it says, But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, If every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? So Jesus acknowledges that Satan has a kingdom. Does everybody understand that? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, why whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So we see that there are two representations of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Amen. And verse 29. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? He's talking about a high-ranking demon. And then he will plunder his house. And that's, we have that in a whole other teaching about binding and loosening. Amen. So the kingdom of God is binding the powers of darkness. So there is a war and there's a fight, isn't there? But there are two kingdoms, all right? There's Satan's kingdom, which is known as the kingdom of darkness, and Christ's kingdom, which is known as the kingdom of light. Now, so many times we see that, you know, the Bible says, and then Satan entered Judas. Well, first of all, Satan is an angel. Does everybody get it? Angels do not possess men. All right? Demons possess men. And there's a whole difference of a demon and an angel. All right. Now, it doesn't mean that a demon can enter an individual and still reflect that Satan has entered that individual, because they are still one in the spirit, aren't they? They're still spirit, aren't they? In the spirit realm, it's a different way of communication, isn't there? In the spirit realm, they're one. Don't get me wrong. They're one in communication. They're not one in spirit. All right? In other words, Christ, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one in spirit. Amen? In fact, Jesus prayed that we would be one with Him, didn't He? And one with one another. So in the spirit realm, there is a universal oneness. And the powers of darkness are communicating in this universal oneness of the spirit. So when the Bible says, and Satan entered Judas, well, Satan didn't enter Judas. The demon entered Judas under the authority of Satan. But Satan used him and communicated with him, didn't he? All communication is brought to Satan. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Satan, the Bible says that Satan can't be everywhere, can he? So the only way that he could be almost everywhere is through his demons and powers of darkness. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Because they'd be like, well, man, how come Satan's in him and her? Well, the Bible says that Satan can't be everywhere at one time. But he's not. Satan is a representation of the kingdom of darkness. All right? So when the Bible says Satan entered him, well, a demon entered him, but it was under the authority of Satan. And Satan used them. Everybody all right? Hallelujah. So we know that Satan has a trinity. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. He not only has a kingdom, but he has a trinity too. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody all right? In verse 10. And let's read this together, okay? 2 Corinthians 11, 10. Is everybody there? 2 Corinthians 11, 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Acacia. Now this is Paul speaking. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So we see that he does transform himself into an angel of light, doesn't he? Amen. And verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So we see that Satan also has ministers, doesn't he? Now, how would his ministers be turned into ministers of righteousness? They would, by error. Remember something, Paul said this, he said, listen, many would come preaching the same gospel, but another Jesus. He warned us. He said, many would come preaching the same gospel, but another Jesus. Why would he mean another Jesus? Because there's two steps. The first step is being saved, right? The second step is being born again by the Holy Ghost. That's why there's denominations, right? That's why there's certain people are teaching different doctrines. It's the same gospel, but a different Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean that they're doing it on purpose, does it? There are many sweet people who love God. There are denominations who love God. But they have the spirit of error because they don't believe that the things of God and the Spirit are not for now because they've been deceived. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost, isn't he? If they're not preaching that Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, then something's not right. There's error, isn't there? Now Satan is using the deceiving spirit to bring down a doctrine of a devil, not bringing the total truth. Because the Bible says it's truth that makes you free. So without the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, how do people expect to walk in freedom? They can't. They'll walk in that saved state, and they'll backslide over and over and over and come back to the Lord, until they get baptized in the Holy Ghost and get the power of the Holy Spirit. Then they become born again. Amen? So don't get me wrong. I'm not coming against denominations. And God's, let me tell you something. The Lord doesn't care about denominations. He's looking at the hearts of the people. Amen? He doesn't care whether you are walking in the gifts or not. He would like you to. The Bible says, be short of no gift. So like I said, don't get me wrong. I'm not coming against denominations, and I'm not coming against people or ministers that are preaching the incorrect thing. I'm coming against the powers of darkness. In other words, the Bible says, bring all things to light. How else are we going to bring things to light? I mean, many of us have been brought up in certain denominations. I was brought up in a denomination, never knew I had to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I mean, I was brought up in a denomination where I went to school there for years. And I still serve the devil. In fact, I was told that the Bible was nothing but a story, not a truth. So, you know, many people come from all sorts of denominations, not knowing the truth, only knowing partial truth. Amen? But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He'll bring us to all truth. So that's why it's important to have fellowship in the Spirit and learn the Holy Spirit. And then you bring it to all truth. You know, the Lord gave me a powerful teaching Monday at jail. I mean, I'm telling you, that teaching changed my life. The Holy Spirit spoke through me such a powerful teaching that I'm putting it together. It changed my life. And I saw it change other lives. Because it was preached, not by a man, but by the Spirit of God. And one of the dudes said to me, man, where did you get that understanding? And I said, pray in the Holy Ghost reveals the mysteries of God. You can't study that. You get revelation knowledge by the Spirit by praying in the Holy Ghost, which reveals the mysteries of God. And we got a whole teaching on that too. And hallelujah. Let's go on. Oh, to God be the glory. So we know that Satan has ministers too, doesn't he? He has a kingdom. Let's go to Revelation 3:7. Glory. Hallelujah. And people wonder why they don't want, the devil don't want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. Revelation 3:7. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In verse 7, it says, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write these things, says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Now this is to the church, right? For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and know that I have loved you, because you have kept my commandment command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. So somebody can take your crown, can't they? Amen. Now listen. So we see here that Satan has a synagogue also, doesn't he? There are those who are false prophets. There are those who say they are believers. And it's like I share with people, you know, a believer is one who follows. The word believe means to follow. Jesus never went up to someone and said, believe me. He said, follow me, when he chose his disciples, didn't he? He said, follow me. So believe is a representation of follow. If you truly believe him, you'll follow him. If you don't believe him, you're a liar, because you're not following him. Amen? If you say you believe him and you're not following him, you're a liar. Now, it doesn't mean that you're a liar liar. It means that you're deceived and you're a liar. Hallelujah. It was a soft way of saying you're a liar. Okay. Forgive me. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. I'm trying to move in the compassion of Christ. First John chapter 5. Since when, right? Okay. Glory to God. First John chapter 5. Is everybody there? And verse 7. Just to reference the Trinity again. Let's read this together. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. They are the Trinity. Now we know that the Word became flesh, didn't it? And he became the Son. So the Son was never before, right? He was always known as the Word. So the Word became the Son, but he was not the Son prior to Jesus' coming. He was always known as the Word. Okay? Now, so we see the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Does everybody agree? Now, let's talk about the Trinity of Satan. He represents a Father, a Son, and a Spirit. Not the Father, not the Son, and not the Spirit, but a Father, a Son, and a Spirit. Now watch this. Let's go to the Father. John 8, 41. We already went over this, but I just want to review this one more time. Hallelujah. And 8:41. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 42. It's okay. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from the Father, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your what? Father, the what? The devil. So we see here, he expresses that the Father, he's telling him, you're of your father, the devil. So Jesus acknowledges the devil as a father, doesn't he? Okay, good. That's the Father Trinity. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is everybody there? In verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means. For the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed. Who is that? The son of perdition. That's known as Satan's son. The son of perdition. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now we know that he is a representation of the Antichrist, isn't he? So we see he's known as the son of perdition. Now the word perdition means destruction. So he is the son of destruction. Okay? Ephesians 2. Hallelujah. So we see here we have the Father, the Son, Ephesians 2. I know we did this already, but I just want to do this one more time here. In verse 1 and 2, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. What does spirit mean?
Breath.
The spirit, who now works in the sons of disobedience. So we see here now that there is a spirit that is working in the sons of disobedience. So we now see that the trinity of Satan has been revealed as a father, a son, and a spirit. Does everybody get that? Okay. Now let's go to 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. That's why Satan can access to you in things that you say. That's a gate. And you got to remember, he is the prince of power of air here. So you and I need to breathe another breath, don't we? Because we were born in this world under the prince of power of air. When you get born again, you are breathing another breath. Glory. You're not under the rule of this air any longer. On verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now you got to understand something. Antichrist is a representation of every demon, every principality, and every power of darkness is a representation of Antichrist. Because none of them are for Christ. They're anti, aren't they? So all demons are Antichrist. All demons carry rebellion against Christ, don't they? All devils, all principalities, all powers of darkness. And he says, as you know, many have come. Amen. Now let's get verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have what? You know what moves people out of here? Spirit of Antichrist. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So one time they were of us, but they picked up this deceiving spirit of Antichrist, and they rejected what God wanted. When they go out, they become manifest, don't they? Amen? Does everybody get it? Now, that's just not happening here. It's happening everywhere. Hallelujah. Let's go to chapter 4. In verse 1. You know, if you think that the devil is going to allow you to sit in position and receive all the things of God and kick his butt, you're crazy. He's going to do everything he can. In verse 2 and 3, oh, let's start at verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the, it is the spirit of the Antichrist. Does everybody understand that? And when we talked about that, there is the Trinity of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Go to 2 John. And verse 7. Let's read this together. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Verse 8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward, because the spirit of Antichrist is trying to not only take your rewards, but steal your salvation. Does everybody understand that? That's a whole other teaching. Glory to God. Actually, he can't steal it. You end up giving it away. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, we're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of the Antichrist. There is going to be during the tribulation where they have to come manifest in the natural realm. In fact, the Bible tells us that angels, you never know who you're going to entertain, right? Entertaining strangers could be angels, because angels can put on flesh. Okay. They don't possess, they put on their own flesh. All right? And we have a whole teaching on that too. So, what's going to happen is that they're going to have to put on flesh and come into the world. The principalities, all of them. Does everybody get it? They're all going to come into the world during the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation on this earth, which is known as the wrath of God. Now turn to Revelation 12. Not that the Trinity, the Antichrist, isn't working right now. It is. People are still going to hell, aren't they? People are still being demon-possessed. They're still getting their orders from Satan. Not that they're still fighting amongst themselves. I mean, it's the most disorganized kingdom there is. But there's, Jesus says that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. There is no other everlasting kingdom. Amen. There's only one everlasting kingdom. That's the kingdom of Christ. Okay, in Revelation 12. Hallelujah. In verse 9. I know we went over some of this, but I want to do this again. Let's read this together, okay? So the dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. All right, does everybody see that? Let's keep going. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, that they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. So Satan is going to actually, his trinity is going to come into the natural realm. Does everybody get it? Now watch this. In verse 13, this is powerful. Let's read this together. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth. Now listen, It says, now when the dragon had saw that he'd been, he didn't know he was being cast to the earth. He didn't know that he was being cast into the natural realm. He's going to find, my God. He's not going to say, my God. He's going to say, I'm God. But he's going to find out that he has been cast to the natural realm. Does everybody get it? He's going to find out that he's got flesh.
Get a little taste of his own medicine.
Now watch this. Now, in verse 13, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. So he went after Israel. Okay? So everybody see that? They were cast out of heaven. They were first cast out of the throne room of God. Now they were cast out of the spiritual realm. And they realized they were in the flesh. The dragon represents the father or the anti-God. Okay, the Trinity of Satan. So we see here that the Trinity of Satan is manifested in the natural realm. And this is only happening during the tribulation. Now the dragon represents, okay, the father. Okay, the father of the Trinity of Satan. He's known as the anti-God. Okay. Now, let's go to what the Son represents. In Revelation 13. And I'll explain this a little bit more. In Revelation 13, verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads, its ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Who gave it to him? Didn't the Father give Jesus his throne and power and authority? Does everybody understand that? Now the dragon, known as the Father, has given the beast this authority. So the Son here is a representation of the beast. Does everybody get it? And verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Why? Because he was killed and then brought back alive again, just like Jesus rose from the dead. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So this was granted to them. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose name have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So we see here now the beast representation of the Son is known as the Antichrist. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Now, let's go to 11. Verse 11. Is everybody with me? Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, and that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, who made fire come down from heaven?
Elijah.
And who was he? He was a prophet. Now you're seeing the false prophet working with the spirit of Satan. Okay? And verse 14. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their head. Is everybody there? And that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast on the number of the head. Here is the wisdom. Let him who was understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, number 666. Now, I want you to understand something. Six represents man because man was created on the sixth day. All right? 666 means the trinity of Satan coming into the natural realm. Man, man, man. Now, we see here that these people were sealed with a mark on their head and a mark on their hand, aren't they? Now, those who are believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So do you see the counterfeit? Amen? Okay. Now, understand this. This is also a representation of the dragon represents global government. The beast represents global economy. That's why they have to take a mark to buy or sell, don't they?
What is it? Economy?
Economy. The finances. And the false prophet represents global religion. One world. There's going to be a one world order of government. There's going to be a one world order of economy. And there's going to be a one world order of religion. Does everybody understand it? And it ain't going to be Christianity. See, this is when the Antichrist, the fullness of the Trinity of Satan will be brought forth into the natural realm. In Revelation 19. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? You getting it? Hallelujah. A little meat in the bottle. Amen? A little meat in the bottle. In Revelation 19. In verse 19. Is everybody there? And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Who was? The beast and the false prophet. They were cast alive. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. This happened in the valley of decision known as Armageddon. Yeah, that's what's going to happen in war. Okay, this is when Jesus will return. When you and I return with Jesus at the end of tribulation, the Lord's going to smite those and kill. And he's going to take the false prophet and the beast and throw them in the lake of fire, alive. Okay, let's go on. In chapter 20 and verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he was cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up there and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So now Satan was not thrown in the lake of fire. He was thrown in the bottomless pit. Okay? But the false prophet and the beast were thrown in the lake of fire. Now let's go to verse 7 of chapter 20. And Satan was bound for how many years? 1,000 years. That's during the millennium. Now, in verse 7, chapter 20. Now, when 1,000 years were expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. So that means there's a lot of them going to come against the Lord. They went up on the breadth of the earth, surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then we shall reign with Christ forever and ever. And there will be no more temptations, no more torment, no more anything. Amen. So we see that the Trinity, there is a Trinity of Satan. Amen. And he is working right now. He's working by deceiving spirits. He's working by principalities. He's working by the spirit of error. He also comes as an angel of light. He has righteous ministers. That's why you must be in the Spirit to discern the things of the Spirit. The Spirit searches the deep things of God. Amen? That's why it's important to have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you to all truth. And he'll teach you. The anointing that you have in you, you don't need carnal man to teach. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit will teach you. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you'll continue to give us understanding. I plead the blood of Jesus on this seed. And I ask that you allow the seed to grow and bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.